Yeah, good afternoon. Oh, it is so nice to be here. I'm so excited about today. Today, we're talking about a subject matter that I am a little excited about. But before we begin, I want to pray for the nation of Israel. They're being bombed by Hamas with rockets right now. Israel has declared a state of war against Gaza. Maybe we should be praying for that. Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you so much that in your word it says that we are to pray for the safety of Israel. And Lord, in Psalm 122, verse 6 and 7, says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palace, for the sake of my brethren and companions. I will now say, peace be within you. So Lord, we ask for your peace to be upon Israel right now, as they're getting rocketed by missiles. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring the death toll down to absolute minimum, to nothing, that you would stop this insanity and bring peace upon Israel. And these things pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Today we're talking about spiritual warfare. Not warfare such as rockets being launched from an enemy into another part of the country or the world. We're talking about spiritual warfare, that is against the principalities, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places and this kind of stuff. And today is going to be filled with a lot of good facts, a lot of good examples. And really my hope is that you'll become better able now to deal with fear, shame, self-hatred, anger, sickness, and the like. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12 reads this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, saying that our warfare is not against people. It's against the devil and his dark angels are called demons. And we have a spiritual warfare that hits us. Now, I know that some of us here, we come from backgrounds where spiritual warfare is seen much more easier. I had a great dinner with some friends who came from an Indian background, and they told some wild stories about spiritual warfare, demonic possession, this kind of stuff. Some of us come from countries and cultures where that's not really seen that much. But even though we don't see it very much, it is there. And the scriptures talk about this. And the scriptures want us to be prepared and knowing how to deal with this. And we have to deal with this on a regular basis because we live in a fallen world. This is a spiritual discipline. We must learn how to understand and assert with authority. And today I'm going to give you three steps on how to do this. Step one is called confess sin. Confess sin. My clicker here. There it is. We are absolutely insane if we think that there's habitual sin in our lives, that we can have authority over spiritual forces in our lives. If there is there's a lot of dark sin in our lives. That's just not going to happen. We talked about this last week about prayer life, and the first step in a prayer life is to confess sins to God. And this is also true when it comes to spiritual warfare. We must confess sin. We can't be dealing with spiritual warfare and there's sin in our lives. It's just not going to work. In Ephesians 4, verse 26-27, Apostle Paul says, "And you're angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." When we have sin in our lives and it becomes habitual and it starts building up in our lives, this can give a foothold to the demonic, have an influence over our lives. An interesting verse here in the life of Jesus speaking here, is about a week before he goes to the cross in John 14, verse 30. Jesus said, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming. That is, the devil is coming, to instigate his crucifixion upon the cross. But Jesus said, the devil has nothing in me, though. Now, why does the devil have nothing in Jesus? It's because Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. And therefore, the enemy didn't have a foothold upon his life. He had nothing against him. If we have sin in our lives, that's got to be confessed. That's just got to be confessed. I sat down once in a counseling situation with a guy in his mid-20s. He was suicidal, had bitterness, had lots of rage issues. He was a wreck. He couldn't hold out a job. And he's like, what's going on here? And so I sat down with him, and it turned out that he was really bitter against a girl that dumped him. They're dating, and the girl said, see you later. I don't want to date you anymore. When he's about 17 years old, and this really affected his life in a major way. And I'm kind of going, okay, we got to confess sin here. So he confessed his sin of holding bitterness, and he was set free. I mean, you could just see his whole countenance change. He was able to stand straight up. He had brighter eyes. His face was better. And the next day he texted me saying, I feel so much better. I feel the best I felt in the last 5 years. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And then I touched base with him again about a week and a half later, 2 weeks later. And he's like, oh, he was not doing good. He was slumped over. He was sad and just moody and insecure and fearful. And I'm talking to him, and all I could talk about was how this girl was so mean to him years earlier. And I'm like, what happened? You forgave this girl, but he didn't stay forgiven toward this girl. He went back toward bitterness and back replaying that old tape again and again and again and again. And it allowed the enemy to have a foothold again on his life all over again. In fact, the latter state was worse than the former state. And when it comes to dealing with spiritual warfare, we got to understand, first thing you got to do is you got to confess sin. And you don't have to get long and drawn out into it. Go before God with a sincere heart, confess sin, and God really will really bless you. Step one is confess sin. If we don't do it, something's wrong. Step two, put on Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. This is what I mean. I'm going to read a passage out of Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17. This is the Apostle Paul. I read verses 10 and 12 in the introduction. We're going to continue with this. Verses 13 through 17. This is the Apostle Paul talking about putting on Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The Apostle Paul is talking about different pieces of spiritual armor. We're not putting these things on physically. We don't walk to work with the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. Unless you're going to go to Comic-Con or something like that, this is spiritual. This is a figurative language, symbolic language. There's a belt, a breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, and a sword. What do these things mean? These are representatives. These are symbolic of putting on Jesus himself. Now I'm going to go through these pieces of armor here quickly, and you're going to see pretty quick how these reflect Jesus Christ. The belt of truth. This is Jesus talking about the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is personified in the scriptures as the truth? Well, it's Jesus. How about the breastplate of righteousness? Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Who in the scriptures is righteous? Well, it's Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 5, repeats this. He says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. The scriptures talk about Jesus being sinless. He was the righteous one. How about the shoes of peace? Well, listen to Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is personified as peace in the scriptures? Jesus. How about the shield of faith? Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and on him sat, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges the nations, and it goes on. Who is described as the faithful one in the scriptures? Jesus. How about the helmet of salvation? This reads, in Acts 5, verse 31 reads, him God has exalted to the right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Who is personified as the helmet of salvation in scriptures? It's Jesus. The last armor, the Word. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is called the Word of God. When we are putting on spiritual armor, we are putting on Jesus Christ. How do we practically put on the spiritual armor? How do we practically put on Jesus Christ? It's through spiritual disciplines. It's through reading the Bible regularly, if not daily. It's through having an active prayer life. When we read the Word of God, we are putting on Jesus as a truth, the belt of truth. We're putting on the sword of the Word. We're having an active prayer life. We're going to Jesus as the Savior, the helmet of salvation. We're going to Jesus as the righteous one. When we go to Jesus during our spiritual disciplines, we are putting on Jesus Christ. And this is an excellent way to prepare every day for the spiritual warfare that we're going to be experiencing in little ways. I remember I visited one gentleman who was in jail on the island of Kauai. Kauai is just one of the smaller islands in the state of Hawaii in the United States. And there's a jail there. And I was asked to visit one of our congregants went back to jail for, I forget what he did, went back to jail for something dumb. And I remember talking to him. And when you talk to someone in jail, the first question you always ask them is, do you know why you're here? Because sometimes people, they honestly don't know why they're there. Like, oh, I don't even know. Like, okay, well, let me explain to you what's going on. And then he asked him, what do you got to do to get out of this place? Do you know what you have to do in order to get out of this place? And that's true for kids in juvie hall, or if it's adults in the big boy jail. Do you know what you got to do in order to get out of here? And he looks at me and he's like, I don't know. I'm saying, well, we got to honor your lawyer, and you better seek Christ. You better put on Jesus every day. This means you got to get into the Bible every day and start reading this thing, because you're getting jail now, and it's not going to be easy for you. And believe me, this guy was in jail. He could take care of himself. I mean, this guy was a fighter through and through. I mean, skull tattoos. This guy was, you'd want him on your side if you were at a conflict, for sure. But I'm saying, this is, you're dealing with spiritual warfare in jail, and you're not right with God. And I told him straight, you got to seek Christ's face every day. And to his credit, he started to. And he really started seeking Christ's face. And he got out of jail, and he came to church, started helping the church set up. Praise God when you have church set up. Anybody here have to do church set up at a church? You got to do bust out the chairs and bust out the sound. Oh, man, I see I see a guy that you raised. Oh, yeah. That's, you get church. Guy want to help you out at 6 in the morning to church set up. Oh, that was great. And he started turning his life around. And my wife and I were on a video phone call with him just last month. And he's like, Pastor, you have no idea. My life has changed. And it's changed because of Jesus Christ. And it's changed also because he took the disciplines of getting into the word and praying and realizing that he's not just in a physical battle. He is in a spiritual battle. It changed his life. When it comes to spiritual warfare, one, confess sin. Two, put on Jesus Christ. But number three, what do you do when you do those things and you're still getting slammed with spiritual warfare? I mean, you are reading your Bible and you are praying and you are seeking a small group and still you're getting hit with all sorts of just horrible images, horrible thoughts. This is not you. Sicknesses that come out of the nowhere. What do you do when these measures aren't really working too well? Like we have to go to step number three at this point, and that is assert your identity in Christ. Now I'm going to go through some theology with you, and there's five major points I want you to get here, and I'm going to go through these, but these are absolutely critical to understand. The first one is Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. You must understand this. It wasn't at Jesus' birth. It was at Jesus' death where Jesus had victory over the demonic. Colossians 2, verse 15. It reads, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And in that, Jesus now has all authority on heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus said to them, that is to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. After Jesus died, he rose again from the grave. He appeared before his disciples and he said, guys, all authority on heaven and earth is mine. And the cool thing about this spiritual speaking is all that authority Jesus has on heaven and earth, now he shares with us. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The spiritual blessings in the heavenlies that Jesus has, he now shares that with us. Know also that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But when the people kept on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil and has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ died on the cross to defeat the devil. He has all authority on heaven and on earth. He has blessed every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. He has shared those blessings with us. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And 1 John 4, verse 1 reads this about God. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 talks about when you accept Jesus Christ, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That is, the third person of the Holy Trinity is living inside of you. God is living inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit helped to create all the billions of galaxies and all the billions of stars in our galaxy, our solar system, our planet, every bug, every leaf, everything on this planet, and he lives inside of you, that's significant help. That's significant help when it comes to dealing with spiritual warfare. Understand that you've got God living inside of you. That's a big advantage. Imagine if you were in New York City and you were with a bunch of friends at a restaurant and you walked around the corner, you left with a friend and you walked around the corner and your friend forgot something. He went back to get something. He forgot his coat. And then you walk around the corner and all of a sudden some guy jumps out of the dark and says, give me your money or I'm going to beat you up. That'd be a scary thing, right? That'd be a very scary thing. But what happens if your friend comes around the corner and here he is? He's Ivan the Bear, the professional wrestler, the Russian professional wrestler. Now, if Ivan the Bear comes behind you and some guy is sitting in front of you saying, I'm going to beat you up, you know, I would imagine their fear level in your heart will come way down. I mean, this guy's an animal. Look at him. Now, I know you're not very strong. I know you're like this guy. You're not very strong. But it's okay if you're not very strong because you've got Ivan the Bear right next to you. If this were like tag team wrestling match, you're going to win. He's just, no guy's going to beat that. I mean, come on. But you got someone wave. Oh, by the way, the story about Ivan the Bear, he became a Christian. He lives in America now. He gave his life to Christ. Isn't that kind of fun? But as we face spiritual warfare, and it is intense at times, we got to understand that we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, the third person of Trinity, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, on your side. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Sometimes we'll go through some hard things, but we're going to be okay. And when it comes to when doing devotions and praying and confessing sin, if you're living like a reasonable sin-free life, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but reasonable sin-free life, and you're seeking Christ, and spiritual warfare starts kicking up, the first thing you have to do is called an open rebuke. You assert your identity in Christ. It's called an open rebuke. My wife and I, we started a church in Hawaii. Hawaii is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the Polynesian islands and it has a rich history of paganism. Pele, Kane, these different pagan gods, and people worship these gods. And we've had people in our church who tell us that their fan members are casting word curses and spells against us according to the Hawaiian pagan religion. And my wife and I are going, oh, okay, great. But, you know, again, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And my wife and I, we're almost always prayed up. And one night, my wife went outside the bedroom, went into the living room. And what did she find in the living room? It's a whole bunch of Hawaiian chiefs sitting there in the middle of the living room, all chanting. By the way, sitting there standing, chanting. And these were demons. They manifest themselves to scare us. Now, I've asked this to raise your hands, people in Kauai. Raise your hands here. Who here has seen night marches in the middle of the night on Kauai? And half the people raise their hands. And night marches are when they see these Hawaiian chiefs and these Hawaiian, they're demons, and they manifest themselves and they march in a line, like a Congo line, walk on the neighborhoods. This is not uncommon. My wife looks at this and be like, "What this? What the? Jesus, could you please come and smash these things? I rebuke these things in the name of Jesus." And my wife said, "He saw a huge hand come down and bang, smashed them all. Bye bye." My wife's like, "Oh, now I can go to bed now. That's nice." When it comes to spiritual warfare, knowing your identity in Christ, the first thing is called an open rebuke. The next one is what I call forced praise. Forced praise. Because sometimes you give an open rebuke and you're still really scared. You give an open rebuke and you're still going on, oh, like you're still like freaked out and you're like, oh, that was heavy. Oh, wow. Like, and you don't want to go back to sleep because you don't know what else is going to happen. This happens. I love this passage out of Luke chapter 10. Jesus gave a job to his disciples. He broke them up two by two and told them to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. So they went out two by two and proclaimed the kingdom of God. And then later in the Gospels, he sent out 72 people in groups of two to do the same. And this is the response when they came back. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus is like, hey, that's awesome that the demonic will bow to the name of Jesus. And the disciples had authority over the demonic. Jesus is like, hey, that's good. That's great. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. It was instantaneous. He says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you're a son of God. Rejoice you're a daughter of God. Rejoice in being a child of God. This is where we need to be. Not rejoicing that we have authority over the demonic, but rejoice that we have authority over rejoice that we have a fellowship with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. That we're a simple child of God. This is where we got to be. This is where our heart needs to rest. And I was learning about spiritual warfare way back in Jersey. This is a long time ago. I went through a season where I was oppressed every night. Has anybody here ever been like smashed by the enemy, like pinned to your bed or pinned to the ground, choked? Anybody ever happened? It's one hand. I see another hand over there. Yeah, this is actually, I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not certainly not uncommon. I wake up in the middle of the night and an absolute fear, panic, something's on me, choking me. I'm going, oh, whoa, this is, what is going on? And you can't see it. It's just dark and there's no real shape to it. And it's like, what is going on? This is freaking me out. And I can't say anything. And finally, I'm able to say the name of Jesus. And finally, I squeak out the name Jesus. And then it lifts and it goes to the corner of the room. I'm like, oh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then thing kind of leaves. But I'm still freaked out. I'm still going, oh, I'm not going to go back to bed. If I go back to bed, this thing might come and bother me again. What do I do? Like I'm still like really scared. I'm still like this is all new to me. And I knew what I had to do. I had to get in the Bible. So I got my Bible and I walk in the room, dining room, turn the light on, and started going into the Psalms and just started praising God, whatever I saw in the Psalms. And just kind of glided through the Psalms and focusing on passages and meditating upon the goodness of God. I'll come across Psalm, like Psalm 23. It says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I'll reflect back to God saying, God, you are my shepherd, I shall not want. You are in control of everything. He leads me and guides me to green pastures. Lord, thank you so much. You guide me. You make me lie down in green pastures. You're so good. You do this for me. You know, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that your rod and your staff, they comfort me, that I could be in a dire situation and you're going to be right there pulling me out of a bad situation or directing me along in a good direction. And I just meditated upon who Jesus is. And the first 10 minutes, I wasn't really feeling it. I'm just kind of mouthing it. I'm just saying, I knew I had to praise God. I knew I had to get my mind upon Jesus. And then after about 10 minutes, peace started coming over pretty good. And after about another 10 minutes, I felt like, I'm really meaning this. And at that point, I knew the enemy was defeated. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that Satan, any demons, I command you must flee from me and go where Jesus Christ would have you to go. He has all authority in heaven and earth. You go where Jesus Christ would have you to go. Don't you dare interrupt my worship of Jesus. I went to bed like a baby, full of faith, full of joy. No problem. When it comes to spiritual warfare, it's going to happen sometimes. And we have not a perfect life, but a reasonably sin-free life. And we are putting upon Jesus. We're doing daily devotions. And spiritual warfare still kicks up. It's still hitting us. Open rebuke. Number two, forced praise. And the last one is called team power. This is spiritual warfare that when those two steps really don't seem to work very well, and so you're gathering a bunch of saints together and you're praying together. And there is power in that. There is very much power in that. Jesus talks about when two or three are gathered in his name in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus says, "Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Jesus will indwell in us by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. So you have God Almighty inside of you. But sometimes there's going to be situations in life where you're going to have to pull together the saints and you're going to have to pray together in groups of two, three, or more. And Jesus tells us specifically in Matthew that there is a special premium behind that. He says, when two or three or two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst, and I will do what you ask. And it is wonderful to see that unfold and unveil before your very eyes. Because I want to, again, remind us one more verse here. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Remember, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And when we come before in his name and deal with spiritual warfare, you've got help. And I'd close with a story. There is a great ministry in Africa, in the country of Mozambique. Heidi and Roland Baker started a ministry out there called Iris Ministries. Some of you may have heard of it. They saw orphans in Mozambique, and they just couldn't stand it any longer. They started some orphanages there, and they feed as 5,000 kids. It's a lot of kids. I mean, they have an amazing ministry there. And the church town I started in Hawaii, we had a couple who we sent there as missionaries into Mozambique. The husband, he fixes cars and does carpentry. And we got there, he fixed over 20 vehicles that were broken down. Oh, that orphanage, they loved him. And we did all the wiring and all the plumbing for him. Oh, they loved him. Oh, they loved him. And we at New Hope Lihue, this church we started in Kauai, we wanted to go visit them. So we raised up some funds, and about a dozen of us from New Hope Lihue went to Mozambique, Africa to see Irish Ministries and to see our friends there. And then one day they decided to go into the bush. Now in the bush in Africa, they're going to some village, kind of in the middle of nowhere in Mozambique. They brought speakers and they're going to show the Jesus film. And they asked our team from New Hope Lihue to circle up and pray while they're set at the projector and this kind of stuff. And so my wife and a bunch of others are there and they're praying. And it wasn't really happening very fun. There was fear upon the group. There was oppression upon the group. There was hopelessness, despair. They were not feeling it at all. They were like, oh. And then to make matters worse, there were witch doctors who came and casting curses upon my wife and others, you know, like this close, like as close as you could stand. You touch them. And there they are dressed very scary with the scary necklaces and all the piercings and not comfortable at all. And there's my wife and a whole bunch of people from the church all praying, like, "Jesus, I thought you said when like two or three are gathered in name, you're there in the midst. Like what's going on here?" After 20 minutes, they're like, "This is not working at all. Like what's going on here? I thought we had authority over the enemy." And then the Holy Spirit whispers into my wife's ears, "Did you confess the sin of the land?" And my wife goes, Oh, I forgot. And she is, okay, everybody. I think the Holy Spirit is telling me we got to confess the sin of the people in the land here before we go any further. And so they went through 10 commandments, not real long. You know, "Lord, please forgive all the false gods have been honored here. All the idols have been honored here. All the ways to take your name in vain, the ways to sign you on the Sabbath, for all the, you know, go all the 10 commandments." Took about maybe a minute to go through it. I mean, not long. And I spent 10 minutes on each commandment. all 10 commandments in about a minute. And then my wife's like, all right, now what do we need to rebuke here? Holy Spirit, bring to our minds what has to be rebuked. We rebuke all demonic witchcraft, all demonic word curses, sickness, fear, hopelessness. And my wife and well, others in the group, there are people in the group that have the spiritual gift of seeing spiritual warfare. And they just saw these demons just falling. The witch doctors, they just got up and they left. They just left. They knew they had no more stance there, no more authority there, because the name of Jesus is being exalted here. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving amongst them. And when they finished showing the Jesus film, people came forward to receive salvation. There's also supernatural healings. People with hearing problems, and people have tumors, and you can see these tumors, just literally these big tumors just disappearing on them as you're praying for them. And Iris Ministries asked my wife and the team, how did you all prepare? We haven't had this kind of like response in a long time. And my wife was like, well, we just again, the key to activating the power of the Holy Spirit was it began by the confession of sin. And then the asserting who their identity is in Christ. And then binding those evil things in the heavenlies, rebuking them in the name of Jesus, and commanding them to go where Jesus Christ would have them to go. Does that sound good? You all can do this. You've got Christ inside of you. For those of you, if you believe in Jesus, he died on the cross to be the penalty of your sins. You have that power inside of you. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to say thank you so much that you died on the cross to be the penalty of our sins. And you did not abandon us. You did not leave us with being hopeless and powerless. You gave us the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, for some of us, we never asked you to come into our life. So please save us, Lord. Please save us. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life and save me. I need you. I need help. I need deliverance. And the rest of us, Lord, this week, I pray that the truths that were mentioned in this sermon would hit hard. And we're facing spiritual warfare. We can come against it in the name, in your name, Jesus. We can assert authority in the name of Jesus. And we see you get victory, Lord, and you being honored in our life and the lives of many others. And these things pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
That's good to hear. I just want to say something. I normally don't give a little bit of commentary in this setting, but I myself, we all come from different backgrounds, different experiences. Some of what Doug shared today, you guys are like, yeah, we know that. We experienced that, you know, and others maybe are like, I've never experienced that before. I came from a church background where we never talked about spiritual warfare. And it's been a learning process. I still remember the first time that like I came face to face with it through a dream, and some friends that were from university. We were in our early 20s, and it's been a slow process of me even learning about it, you know, and it's incredible when you start to, allow the Spirit to work in you that way and to be able to see that. I don't know if you guys remember just a couple weeks ago, I stood up here and preached, and I shared a little bit about a concussion that I had. And some of you guys came up and laughed at me. Ha ha ha. It's okay. I deserve to be laughed at. I was foolish. But I kind of gotten better, but then I started getting worse again. It had already been past the time that should have been okay. I was having horrible headaches, dizziness. I couldn't, you know, do what I needed to do and stuff. And then 3 days after I shared that sermon, I was in the middle of the night, I was sleeping, and I had this incredibly vivid dream about me and some other people going to find this person who had an immense amount of evil over them in the dream. And before we even got to them, I hit this wall of just evilness. And it's like, I couldn't even explain. I woke up in the middle of the night, which usually doesn't happen. And I was praying so intently. And I was sweating, you know, and I was speaking the name of Jesus, like you were saying. And all of a sudden, I felt this like heaviness start in my head and move down and then out of my body through my heart. And my concussion symptoms have been gone since then. And so I just want to let you guys know it's God. God, give him the glory. For those of you that maybe don't come from a background or a church that talks a lot about spiritual warfare, it can be intense and scary, like Doug said, but God is bigger and stronger. And we all have a lot of learning to do. You know, I stand up here and I proclaim the name of Jesus, and I've done it for many, 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 many years, but there's still a lot that I don't know. And there's still a lot that I'm learning as well. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you've got questions, if you're not sure, you know, if you come from a tradition that doesn't, you know, give a lot of value to it or a lot of weight to it, you know, come and talk to us and hear stories and hear about what God is doing, because it's incredible. It really, really is. And so thank you for sharing that. Yeah.